Obie Award-winning performance group The Secret City will be playing their third annual gathering in Woodstock, New York, this Sunday, July 31st at 12 p.m. The theme will be play. The Secret City is the brainchild of impresario and Birdcliff resident Chris Wells, who moved to Woodstock 3 years ago and felt the small town with its cultural history, inclusiveness, and love of community were a perfect setting for a tribal art gathering. The Secret City combines art, food, music, storytelling, meditation, singing, performance, and community interaction in an event that is part tent revival, part ceremony, and part salon. For their Woodstock gathering, they'll present musical guest Eric Red, visual artist Jacinta Bunnell, right? Yes. And who's here? Roller Derby Troupe, the Hudson Valley Horrors, food offering by Lagusta of New Paltz, and a performance by Percussion Orchestra of Kingston, as well as the Energy Dance Company. Martha Frankel will do a reading. There'll be songs by the Secret City Singers and the Secret City Band, and of course, a story by Chris Wells. We welcome Chris Wells to the roundtable this morning, and artists Jacinta Bunnell, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
It's very nice to have you with us. So, what is this?
First of all, it was so exciting to hear you read that copy in your beautiful voice.
Well,
I was
thank you.
Wow, that event sounds amazing. I want to go to that.
So now the job's on you to explain what it is.
When I moved to New York about 12 years ago from Los Angeles, I was really interested in combining two of my fascinations. One is religious and or spiritual practice or ceremonies with art making. So I combined the two. So the event mirrors a lot of very recognizable worship practices. There's a call and response, there's a choir, there's a band, there's a story. And but all of the content is art and performance. And I was interested in promoting art as worthy of worship. And so that sounds a little heavy-handed because it's actually very joyful and ridiculous and people dress up and it's a lot of fun. But it does have underneath a message of connectivity and promoting the importance of community.
So the spirituality aspect of it is the feeling that we get as in regards to the art that is being presented.
Yes, that's beautifully put. I always felt the most stirred spiritually in the presence of either performance or art of some kind. And so I wanted to formalize that in a way and suggest that that was a viable form of spiritual practice, which has been my experience.
So how do you, it seems implicit in that is of touching people in some way, of reaching in and touching them. Not physically, but moving, well, maybe that too, but moving them.
Yeah, very much. I was interviewed recently for an article in Upstater by Sari Botten, who's a great local writer.
Absolutely.
And journalist. And in that conversation, what I was trying to explain is what I stumbled upon in starting the organization was that if people, religious people, turn to text for, let's say, the word of God,
I
think people turn to art for the word of the person. They're looking for
the artist
to tell what it is to be alive and to reflect that in a way that is, we hope, moving, touching, and transformative. And so that's how we sort of supplant that in our events.
So in the gospel, according to Jacinta, what does that mean?
Well, when I was introduced by mutual friends to Chris Wells, I went to his house for a dinner and immediately invited him to join an adult ballet class that I was going to take part in because that's how I like to do life. You know, life is about playing and joy. And we became instant friends. And he saw that much of my artwork was actually based in play. The series that I'll be showing at the Secret City comes out of a group of work that starts with these endless amounts of score sheets that my parents churn out on a daily basis, because in my family, there was no church, there was no religion, but there was a gathering of family 2 to 3 times a week playing cards and just being together. And that's where the joking around came, and that's where the conversations happened around the table. And so I have years, piles of these score sheets from a particular rummy game they play, and I started doodling on them. And so now I have, you know, a series of art that's all just colorful patterns that use the grid work of the score sheets as the foundation.
Now, what I have in front of me that you have provided is a folder, and when we open the folder, on the right-hand side are the score sheets that you have not touched.
Correct.
But and your parents are still with us?
They
and
are.
And they're still producing score sheets?
My mother and my stepfather,
okay,
namely, and my grandmother, who is the one that taught us the card game. She's still
wonderful.
Alive at 98.
Wonderful. Okay. So these are still being produced. So,
yes.
So on the right-hand side of the folder are just watts and watts of, there must be 25, 30 of them, and in various states of size and of crumpledness.
Anything it's around, they will write the score on if they can't find a piece of paper.
And then on the left-hand side is the art, which you have done. So you will take a sheet, and then it is, so what do you hope to accomplish in the story? Does it have anything to do with who won?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
It's very important. My art is not about who won, but the card game itself.
Yes.
It's very important. You pay,
okay.
You play for a penny a point.
Yes.
But my artwork, honestly, because I don't necessarily have a religious practice or spiritual practice, art really is the place where I go into myself. I meditate while it's happening, and all of the busy thoughts in my head go away. And that's pretty much when either I'm dancing or making art that I am feeling in a meditative place.
There seems to be very much a focus on color.
Mm-hmm.
And a design sense. There is, of course, which I assume is fairly typical in a score sheet where you have boxes. So there's a grid sense. And within those grids, there can be vertical lines, horizontal lines, dots, stars, plus signs, you name it. And so there is a... Are we supposed to see anything in it other than a symbolism and an aesthetic beauty?
You know, for me, like the backstory of family and togetherness and play is all there in the artwork for me, because literally each one of those was a part of a family game.
Yes.
And what we're going to do for Secret City is make very large 30 by 40 prints, and they will be the backdrop of the stage while all this amazing dancing and singing and storytelling is going on in front of the art.
I thought you were just going to hand these out.
Okay. Well, one of the things I love is that I think a lot of people don't spend a lot of time with visual art. And in the events that we hold, the visual art really serves as the set design, essentially. So over the course of an hour and a half or an hour and 45 long event, people will sit with this artwork, and we hope it will have a kind of meditative quality as the event endures, you know. And when you see these enlarged, they do start to take on this sort of aboriginal power. They're abstractions, but you see these sort of runic repetitions and these sort of ancient symbols within them. They're really quite beautiful.
And it does, they are beautiful, and they play to the... Pardon the pun, which is the theme play.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because that's ultimately what inspired this.
Yes. Well, yeah. So we pick the themes at the beginning of the season, and we program in New York City and Los Angeles, and we do this Woodstock event annually in the summer. But the theme really is how we determine who we're going to reach out to. And so when we had the theme of play, after I had met Jacinta, I was like, oh, she'd be a perfect person to involve in this because she herself is very playful, but her work also examines play and uses play. So we were interested in that, and it's proven to be a great fit.
An event that is part tent revival, part ceremony, part salon. So what does that mean?
So tent revival.
I have to say, when I read that, I think to myself, all right, I may be getting into something that I'm not sure I want to get into.
But would you
make
still
sense?
Come?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've actually had
curiosity.
A lot of people ask me, well, do I have to do anything?
Or do I have to hold anybody's hand?
Right.
Do I have to, I don't know.
Are you asking
genuflect?
Too much of people? Right.
What do I have to do?
Good question.
No, you don't have
What's
to hold anybody's
on,
hand. You don't have to genuflect. The tent revival is this idea, you know, the event has a very high energy. It's very joyful and very boisterous. So there is this idea of like, oh, it's coming to town. So
okay,
there's
that's
that,
great. Okay.
You know, salon, it does toggle back and forth between like structured performance and conversation.
Okay.
So it has a salon quality. In cabaret, it feels a little cabaret-y. But it does ask to, one of the things that it's by design is that the event sort of softens the edges between people, both performer, audience, participant. Usually the lights are up. We're not looking at creating just a proscenium performance that someone comes in and says, I either liked it or didn't like it, and then they get to go home and have dinner.
Okay.
We're actually suggesting a kind of community interaction that nobody's put on the spot, per se, but we're hoping that as one of our board members say, a lot of nonprofit or theater organizations talk about how they foster community, but the Secret City really creates community wherever we program. And that's a huge part of our agenda. I think that nowadays with the world we live in, where I think increasingly people are afraid to leave the house, I think it's crucial that we can be in a shared space together in a way that is like, oh, people aren't so bad and life is not horrible and I don't have to fear others. And I think the Secret City promotes some of those things.
But you won't be brought up on stage like, you know, when you go to street performers in Quebec City and be made fun of. You'll get to taste a piece of chocolate. That's one of the things you get to do.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
You know, you make a really good point, which I think is interesting, which is that we do tend to go when we are, when we buy a ticket and we say, well, entertain me.
Yes.
If I go to a concert, I want to be entertained. If I go to a movie, I want to be entertained. If I go to theater, I want to be entertained. And even if I go to an art gallery, I want to be entertained. So instead of that idea of I'll sit here and watch and you put on the show, you want there because we don't normally know who's sitting next to us or have any conversation with them whatsoever. So you want to take that to a level where you can actually have some sort of dialogue.
Yeah, I do. I do think that a lot of the arts and a lot of theater has kind of lost the thread of who is actually coming, who is actually in the audience, what is the conversation between the artist and the viewer. And I think that art in many ways, especially live performance, has in a way deferred the responsibility of true communication to a community. And I guess if this is a revival, I want to revive that.
Because we've come in many senses such a narcissistic society in that we're posting and we're telling people what we're doing and we're showing people pictures of our food that we don't do as much of say, well, show me your pictures of your food.
Yeah, and also I do think we have to find a way to live together. We have to find a way to live together and be together. And I think that artists, especially people who make live events, we have these little microcosms, these little laboratories, and there are opportunities to soften the edges between the other sitting next to us. And I hope that the Secret City does that in a way that is not painful and does not put people on the spot, but it actually, well, I've seen it over the 9 years we've been programming, it actually makes people feel better about being alive for a longer period of time when they leave.
Yes.
And in a way that is still irreverent and doesn't feel like kumbaya. It's actually it's very ridiculous in times, and it can be very arch and very campy. But I do think ultimately the ritual softens people.
And Jacinta, do you enjoy that, the talking to people about your art?
Well, you know, I usually, like, if I am talking about art, I try to make it very light and accessible. I haven't ever gone to art school. I approach art from a very grassroots perspective. I asked Chris if it would be okay if my parents came and taught the people before and after the show how to play the card game.
Oh, that's
like,
great.
That's art to me.
That's great.
And I love that.
That's great. Yeah. And just out of curiosity, do you do any of this art while they're actually playing the game? Or are you playing
yes.
the game too? Oh, okay.
I have played the
game. You do? Oh, I love that.
Yes, yes.
Come on.
That's great.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
I would think that would be like the best thing that could be going on as you're creating it.
Absolutely. And then we can have a discussion about it. And my stepfather's very proud that this is all happening. And
well,
he'll
sure.
be there.
Well, that's wonderful. Yeah. Great story. The Secret City... in Woodstock, we'll meet at noon on Sunday, July 31st at the Bearsville Theater in Woodstock, New York. To find out more, you can go to thesecretcity.org. Secret City, thesecretcity.org. Chris Wells, Jacinta Bunnell, I thank you very much for being with us. I wish you a great and wonderful afternoon of play on Sunday, and I thank you very much for sharing with us and the great work you do for the community.
Thank you so much, Joe.
Thank you very much.
Thank
You're listening
you,
to The Roundtable on WAMC.